Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
On Saturday, May 6th of 2023, Prince Charles of Wales was crowned the King of England. And before the coronation service in Westminster Abbey, there was a processional parade where thousands of people lined the streets to see the king-to-be. They were cheering, they were waving flags, celebrating their new leader. And today is Palm Sunday, where we recognize Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Can you wave your palm at me this morning? If you don't have one of these, then wave one of those, okay? Everyone's got a palm to wave today. Some of you have four of them, so. But yes, the people were cheering. They were rejoicing because of their new leader. Although they had a little bit different viewpoint about what this leader was going to do for them than the reason he actually came. Because this last week of Jesus' life, we're going to read about it in Matthew 21. So you can turn there if you want to this morning. In Matthew 21, it talks about the last week of Jesus' life, and he's heading toward the very purpose that he has come to earth, and that purpose was to give his life for us. And so this story is the beginning of the journey of his last week here. The significance of this event, of the triumphal entry, should not be overlooked, because before this moment, Jesus had never allowed the public to treat him as the Messiah. But here in this event, in the twilight of his earthly life, he gives a public acknowledgement saying, yes, I am the Messiah, I'm the King of the Jews, I am the one that you have been waiting for. And so this morning, as the people began to wave their palms and just go wild, they were lifting him up because he thought he was going to become an earthly king. If you take a look at your notes this morning, Jesus is looking for people who will lift him up. People who will lift him up, but not necessarily as a political ruler, a person who can improve your life, but as a person who can save your life. Because Jesus did not come to be a life improver. He came to be a life saver. The triumphal entry procession was kind of like Prince Charles's coronation parade. They're getting ready to say, Jesus, we want to enthrone you. We want to make you king. But the only crown Christ would wear is one made of thorns. Not one of jewels, not one of gold. That's going to come later when he comes a second time. Many people don't realize Jesus is coming again. He came once to save us from our sin. He's coming a second time to rule the world as Messiah and King. I want to pick it up in verse 1 of Matthew 21. Let's read this. It says, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes in the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when they had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. This mission that Jesus sent two of his disciples on started out very small. They came to Bethphage. Bethphage literally means the house of unripe figs. It was the place, interestingly enough, where rebellious leaders were sentenced to die. It's interesting, but this Passion Week is going to start and end full circle here at Bethphage because Jesus, yeah, he's our Messiah, but he's going to be condemned as a rebellious leader and sentenced to die. Jesus sent two disciples to get a donkey. Now I want you to think about this. What is the big deal about getting a donkey? That doesn't seem like that big of a deal, does it? But it has a huge significance, which we're going to learn about in just a moment. And here's the thing, the disciples probably thought this isn't a big deal, but in your notes this morning, many times the little things God asks us to do end up becoming big things. Being faithful in the little things lifts Jesus up. Pastor Zach mentioned this week at Network Conference, we had a lot of different pastors here. And I just went up and I talked to one of our pastors in the network, and I noticed that during one of the business sessions when he spoke, his voice was really weak. And years ago, he had some voice problems. They did surgery, and then it was fine. But now his voice, I says, hey, how you doing? And he just says, my voice is going, and he says, I'm really concerned. The doctors don't know what to do. I got to go get more tests. And so I prayed with him right there, but just throughout the week, I just felt like God say, you need to text him. Let him know he's not standing alone. And I've done that a few times this week, and the text he sends back, thank you so much. You know, a text of 10 words, just a little thing, but when someone is hurting, when someone's going through the valley of the shadow of death, it means a bunch. And we need to be open to doing little things for people. Calling them, a note of encouragement, just texting them, how are you doing? Because when they are going through that difficult time, that shows they're not alone, that someone cares, that God has them on their radar because he put you on their heart. Many times, little things God asked us to do end up becoming big things. And that's what is going to happen here when the disciples go to get a donkey. All right? Now, there were two disciples. What were the names of the disciples? Who were they? We don't know, do we? It doesn't tell us. And you know, their names were not important, but their obedience was. And there are many times where God's going to ask us to do something, and there's not going to be any notoriety. We live in a society today, everyone's looking for their 15 minutes of fame, 15 minutes of notoriety. But the thing is, it's not so much what we do, but how we obey. In your notes this morning, God is interested in you being known by him. God wants you to be known by him, not necessarily you being known by everyone else. When you're obedient to God, no one else may ever know, but God will. We don't know which of the 12 went and got this donkey, but they were obedient, and that little thing is going to be a big thing, as we'll see in a moment. What was their mission? Verse 2 and 3, go to the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied, a colt with her. Loose them, bring them to me. If anyone says anything to do, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he'll send them. I want you to think about this. Is a donkey a submissive animal? No. When's the last time you said, my kid obeys like a mule? No, what do we usually say? They're stubborn as a mule. Now, I know mules and donkeys aren't exactly the same, but, you know, they're as close. I'm not going to get into the difference of that. But the point is that donkeys, mules, they're stubborn. They've got their own way. And this donkey, we're going to realize in just a moment, there is something else. When you take a look in Mark 11:2, it's a parallel passage. It says, go into the village opposite you. As soon as you've entered it, you'll find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Not only was this a donkey, this is an unbroken donkey. This is a wild donkey. Now, why did Jesus choose a donkey? Why did he choose a donkey? Verses 4 and 5 give us the reason. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Many times You maybe don't realize what you're reading in the New Testament. There are quotes from the Old Testament. And this was actually a fulfillment of a prophecy given 500 years earlier to Zechariah. In chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Friends, Jesus selected a donkey because he was telling the world, "I am your Messiah. I am your king. I am fulfilling this prophecy. I am the one you've been waiting for." Do you realize the world is waiting for Jesus? They just don't know it. And here's the thing. How are they going to hear unless you and I lift up Jesus? That donkey carried Jesus to where he needed to go. Now, I'm not going to say you and I are a bunch of donkeys, okay? In our pre-service huddle, one of our worship team members says, "You know, disciples and donkeys, sometimes they're the same thing, you know, but we can be." Hopefully we're not. Hopefully we're submitted to God and say, "God, I will do what you want me to do." Our job as followers of Jesus is to lift up Jesus, to carry Jesus where he needs to go. Jesus is the king, and when he came in, he didn't come in on a war horse, which is symbolizing, "I'm ready to attack." That's going to happen in his second coming. He came in on a donkey, which symbolized peace. This donkey, as we mentioned, was not broken. Have you ever sat on an unbroken animal? I haven't, but how many of you have gone to the rodeo and you've seen the saddle bronc or the bear bronc riding or the bull riding? Those are untamed animals. And I tell you, you sit on an untamed animal, you're most likely going to get hurt, especially if you're not roped in and tied in like those bronc riders are. When you're just sitting on, you're getting bucked off. You are looking for trouble. But what happened is that Jesus brought peace to the donkey. And in your notes this morning, Jesus was on a donkey to demonstrate not only his power over the natural world, but also to show how only he can tame a wild heart. Jesus can tame a wild heart. And I want you to know this morning, whether you're here in house or watching online, Jesus can help you overcome anything in your life. He can help you control what you can't control. There may be some of you struggling with addictions, with habits, with patterns you feel you just can't break. Jesus can break that in your life if you just surrender to him. With God, all things are possible. He is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And this donkey that's being used by Jesus to fulfill this 500-year-old prophecy, to really show everyone this is who he is. He is the king. He did not mind, in your notes this morning, the donkey didn't mind being used for Christ's purpose. He didn't buck and protest when Jesus went to ride him into the city. And my question for us today is there something God is calling us to do, he's asking us to do, and we're bucking and we're kicking and we're protesting? No, God. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to talk to so-and-so. I'm not going to witness. I'm not going to give this. I'm not going to do that. You see, Jesus can't be lifted up if we're bucking and kicking and protesting. Do you mind when God speaks to you about how he wants you to lift him up, how he wants you to carry him to the purpose that he has in store, that he wants to accomplish? I want you to consider this morning also, the donkey wasn't anything the world would deem special. I mean, it's not a Clydesdale. How many ever seen the Clydesdales, the Budweiser Clydesdales on TV? Those high-stepping animals, they look so majestic and proud, you know. This is just a donkey. He's an Eeyore walking through life. I mean, nothing significant about a donkey. He's not looking for stardom, not looking for recognition. The donkey's not looking for a prize. The only thing the donkey did was he lifted Jesus higher so that everybody could see him and he could fulfill the prophecy saying, this is the Messiah. He's the King. The reason we gave you palms today is because as you take them home this week, I pray you'd keep it somewhere where you can see it. My prayer is that this week you will lift Jesus higher. Maybe put it in your car. Because here's the thing. This week, if you invite an unchurched person to church, it's the greatest, it's the most likely time of the entire year they'll come with you next Sunday to church. On your way out, we have our Easter invites. I want you to take at least one. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you how many you need and take them. Now, don't take 70 and you're not going to give them away, okay? Because we want to make sure everybody has some. But I want you to take these and say, God, lead me to who you want me to carry Jesus to. And you start out by carrying Jesus just by inviting them. Next week, we have a special Easter message. It's called The Plan. So yeah, and here's the thing. You say, hey, I want you to know God has a plan for your life. I'd like you to come with me to church next Sunday to hear about that plan. Because there's a lot of people who think God is kind of far off. He's out there. He's not really interested in me. But God has a plan for every person. How many know that? And he has a plan for your unsaved family, unsaved classmates, unsaved coworkers, unsaved neighbors. When you go to the grocery store or the gas station and you meet someone, have these with you. Hey, I'd like you to invite you to our church service next week. Free donuts beforehand, but also we're going to talk about a plan. God has a plan for your life. I'd love for you to learn about that plan. Lift Jesus up this week. And when you say, but man, Craig, you don't know who I work with. I work with some oil field workers or some people that just, they're so hard-hearted. They're so just stuck in their ways. They're rebellious. They're unbroken. They're untamed. So was the donkey. And if God could break a donkey, he can break anyone. He broke the Apostle Paul, who is killing the church, crucifying the church, just tearing families apart. And God knocked him off his horse. And he surrendered his life. And he became a world changer. You don't know what will happen to the person you invite, how God might use them to change the world. That very person might change your whole work environment because God sees the turnaround in their life. Carry Jesus this week. Every week we're supposed to be carrying Jesus, but this week is a huge week. Don't miss this opportunity. Invite someone. All right, I better stop preaching or we're going to be here all day. This donkey in your notes this morning, it wasn't anything the world would deem special. His divine goal was to make Jesus visible to the crowd. His divine goal, and that needs to be our goal. We want to make Jesus visible. We want to make Jesus visible. All right, let's take a look at verses 8 and 9. We're going to see something that's really, really cool. It says, a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. What's interesting is that we've just talked about how Jesus on the donkey is fulfilling a 500-year-old prophecy. But what you maybe don't realize is that people are reciting a 1,000-year-old psalm. It's quoted from Psalm 118, verse 25 and 26. It says, save now, I pray. Hosanna actually means save. Save now, or it means save us. When they're saying Hosanna, they're saying, save us, Lord. They're reciting this psalm. It says, save now, I pray, O Lord, O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus the King, according to Zechariah, is bringing salvation, and the people are saying, save us, God. They're saying, save us. The question is, who is to save them? That's what they say. A lot of them are saying, when he comes to Jerusalem, like, there's probably a lot of people there saying, all this waving and then cheering and yelling and screaming. It's like, who is this guy? And they say, this is Jesus the Nazareth, the prophet. But Jesus was saying, I'm on the donkey. I'm the king. I've come to be your savior. What is sad is that almost all of the Jews were looking for a different kind of savior. They're looking for a political savior. You see, Rome exercised authority and dominion over the Jewish people and over many people all throughout that region. They exacted a tax on people. That's why Matthew, a tax collector, tax collectors weren't very, what would you say? They weren't very popular. They were considered traitors because they're taxing the Jewish people to give to the Romans. And a lot of times these tax collectors, they would take more than what they were supposed to, and they would pocket it for themselves and give to the Romans what they were asking for. And so the people, they hated Rome. They're looking for someone to set them free from Rome. No more taxes. And I want you to think about this. They've seen Jesus do miracles. He's healed the sick. He's raised the dead. He's given food to those who are hungry. I mean, fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I mean, if we had a president who could just bring food, poof, and give everybody free food, well, wouldn't that be great for our economy? Maybe not the farmers, but it'd be great for our pocketbooks. But hey, the farmers can get free food too. I mean, they're looking for this guy. Hey, we go against the Romans. All he has to do is strike him dead. If any of our guys get hurt, he heals them. They wanted Jesus to improve their lives. Not to save their lives, but that is the greatest need you and I have. Because the wages of sin is death. Separation from God. Eternity in hell. And sometimes when we look at the lost, we don't really realize that that's their eternal condition. They're going to hell if we don't lift up Jesus in their life and say, he's got a plan. He wants to save you. He wants to be your king. He wants to help you. And this world is looking for someone to make their life better, but they don't realize to gain the whole world and lose your soul is going to end up with the greatest loss you ever have. We've got to be a people that lift up Jesus high. Well, that's our mission, to help all people. I can't hear you. Excuse me, I'm a little hard of hearing. Do you believe that? Then this week, let's lift him up. If you haven't been praying for them, start praying because it is a spiritual battle. Be praying for the people that you're going to invite. We should be praying for the unsaved all the time. That's part of our regular prayer life. You see, sometimes what our prayers are, oh God, bless me. Help me. Jesus, improve my life. But Jesus says, I want you to save others. Be my witnesses. It is so easy for our Christianity to be turned into a bless me club. Bless us, God. Oh, wasn't that a beautiful service? Wasn't that great worship? Yeah. But what about the thousands of people out in our community who are dying and going to hell? That are not going to go to heaven unless we lift Jesus up. Can I get a witness this morning? Some of you are sleeping. Yeah. Lift him up. Lift him up. You see what we don't realize in Ephesians 2:3 is that by nature, all of us are children of wrath. We're children of wrath, and we're enemies of God. Romans 5, 8, and 10, God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that we, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Those people out there, they're enemies of God. They're children of wrath. They're going to be condemned unless we lift Jesus up. And this morning, I want to give you two ways, as we wrap this up, two ways of lifting up Jesus. Number one, lift him up by your walk. Lift him up by your walk, by how you live your life. That's what the donkey did. The donkey just walked forward in his role that he'd been called to. And God wants you and I to walk forward in the role that he has called us to. We all have a calling. And here's the thing. God wants you and I to be people of kindness, people of grace, of forgiveness, not of bitterness and retaliation. That's how we walk. When we walk in the Spirit, producing the fruit of the Spirit, producing love, joy, peace, patience. You stupid driver, what are you doing? Cut me off! Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, even in those little things that God says, gentleness, self-control, as we walk in the Spirit and produce the fruit of the Spirit, our lives are going to lift Jesus up, and they're going to communicate that there is something different about those Jesus followers. I don't know what it is, but they've got joy even when their world's falling apart. They've got hope even when their hope seems to be dashed to pieces. They're kind. No matter how much I try to make their life miserable, they don't retaliate. You see, our walk is how we lift Jesus up. And then there's a second way that we lift Jesus up. Number two in your notes, it's by your words. It's by your words. And there's some of you who say, you know, Craig, I can't speak. I don't know how to witness. I don't have a good memory. I can't remember Romans Road or these different plans of salvation. I can't witness. Has anyone ever felt like that? Anyone ever said that? I can't witness. Some of you have. Well, in the Old Testament, we read in Numbers 22, verse 3, that Balaam's donkey spoke. How many know it's impossible for a donkey to speak, right? You can't carry on a conversation with a donkey, but yet it happened. So if you say, I can't witness, hey, God help the donkey speak. He can help you speak. You've just got to be willing. Don't buck. Don't kick. Don't protest. Say, God, I'm yielded to you. I'm not going to be stubborn as a donkey. I'm going to be broken and yielded. God, I want you to use me. God, I want to be used to bring other people to you. I want to lift you high so that they surrender their life as the king, so that Jesus rules and reigns and righteousness, peace, and joy become the kingdom of their hearts. That's what the kingdom is. Righteousness, peace, and joy instead of unrighteousness, wickedness, instead of chaos, instead of anxiety, instead of despair and discouragement and depression. Know that the kingdom of God is ruling and reigning inside of them. So God, help me speak. And you maybe don't feel qualified, but friends, you can do it. And I encourage you, you know what you do? Start practicing in the mirror. It's going to feel foolish. But stand in the mirror and start trying to share the plan of salvation. If you have a hard time inviting the church, stand in the mirror and invite them to church. Say, hey, and take one of our cards with you and say, look in the mirror and say, hey, we're having a special Easter service next week. I'd love to have you come. Bring your kids. There's going to be an egg hunt after church. We're doing free donuts beforehand. And I want you to know, God loves you, and he has a plan for your life. And we're going to talk about that plan. I'd love for you to learn about that plan. Would you come with me? And then maybe even invite him to dinner at your house afterwards, or out to eat or something. Invite them. practice it if you're afraid of speaking. Because just as God helped Balaam's donkey deliver the message, God can help you and I deliver his message. In fact, let's practice right now, okay? Everybody say, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. I'd love for you to come and hear about that plan. Okay, you just did it, right? Woo! I'm praying this is the greatest Easter ever that Radius has ever experienced. Not so that we can say, oh, look how many people we had, but I am praying for lives to be transformed, touched, changed, because they need the King, the Savior in their lives, or they're going to hell. I want them to be totally different. And that next Sunday, there are hearts that were once wild, they're now tame, they've been broken. They're now walking in the path God has for them instead of bucking and kicking and protesting. Sinners who by nature are children of wrath because they're enemies of God, but have now been reconciled by his blood because you and I have lifted up Jesus. Let's pray this morning. Oh, Father God, thank you for your great mercy that you don't give us what we deserve, the punishment that put your Son on the cross. Jesus, you came to be lifted up on the cross to save us, humbling yourself to the point of death, an excruciating, torturous, painful death, so that we can have life and salvation from sin and its penalty. Help us, Lord God, to lift you up for all the world to see the wonderful thing you've done for us and for them. You know, earlier in the message, we said that God wants to be known to you and that you are known to him. I just want to throw this out to everyone in the house and those watching online. Does God know you? Are you a friend of God, or are you separated from God by your sin? The thing is, believing in God is not enough, because in Matthew 7, Jesus says, hey, you've done miracles, you've done these things, you believe in me, but depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. You see, lawlessness is saying, God, I'm going to be a donkey, an unbroken donkey. I'm not going to submit. I'm not going to surrender. I'm going to do my own way. I'm going to be wild at heart and do what I think is right. Only when you surrender your life to Christ do you become a friend of God and you're known by God. And there may be some of you here today, you believe in God, but you've never surrendered your life. You haven't made Jesus the King, the one in charge. I want to give you an opportunity right now with no one looking around. If you'd say, Craig, that's me. I surrender my life. I need to repent of my sin and turn to God and let him be in control. Would you just put your hand up this morning? Anywhere in this room, just thank you. I see that hand there in the middle. Anyone else this morning, you'd say, that's me. I want to be forgiven of my sin and I want to surrender to Christ. Anyone else today? Thank you. I see that hand on the side there. Anyone else this morning? Those, thank you, there in the middle. Those watching online, if God is speaking to your heart, if you feel him tugging on you, I'd like you right now, just put your hand up wherever you're at and say, that's me. I want Jesus to be my King. I need his forgiveness. Anyone else here in the house this morning, you'd say, I want to surrender my life. Just put your hand up. I'm going to say this prayer. I would like each of us to repeat this. Everyone pray this together, okay? Lord Jesus, I have sinned. Forgive me of all the wrong I've done. I surrender my life completely to you. Change me. Give me a new heart. I want to live for you and lift you up. Help me bring others to you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and dying for me. Amen. Amen. Can we just celebrate this morning with those that have surrendered their life to Christ today? Let's just celebrate. The angels are celebrating when one sinner repents of their sin. I want to welcome you, those who said, I'm surrendering to Christ. Welcome you to God's family. Couple things I'd like you to do. In the back of the seat there is a card. It says welcome. And halfway down there is a box. It says, I received Christ today. Check that box. Fill the card out. And then right after service, go to the welcome table right near the coffee and cookies. Turn that in. And we want to give you a book that's going to help you grow in a relationship with Christ. Then also next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, meet in the library. We've got a class going on April and May that's going to help you learn how to walk with Jesus and have a close relationship with Him. This morning, I want you to continue. Bow your heads, close your eyes, because I'd like to talk to us now, all of us who are followers of Jesus. Are you willing to take Jesus where He needs to go, to whomever He needs to go to lift Him up and not be embarrassed that you're a follower of Jesus? To walk the way you need to walk, to speak the words you need to speak. If you're saying today, I want to lift Jesus up, I want to bring others to Him, I want to help all people find and follow Jesus, I'd like you just to lift your hand this morning. Many hands going up here. Father God, I pray right now as our hands are raised. I want you to stand on your feet this morning. Lift both hands as a symbol of, God, I'm offering myself to you. God, I'm surrendering to you. Lord Jesus, we surrender our lives. God, we thank you for the gift of eternal life you've given us. God, how precious that is. Lord, this week, there are people all around us. We're going to see, drive by, walk by, hundreds, if not thousands of people who don't have that gift, that are going to hell. Oh, Holy Spirit, prick our hearts. God, help us to be aware, sensitive to the need in others' lives. Lord, use us to invite. Use us to pray. Use us to bring. Lord, we avail ourselves. God, help us to speak. God, help us to live, to walk the way you want us to walk. Use us, oh God. I want you to say right now, use me, oh Lord, to lift up Jesus, to bring others to you. Oh God, here we are. God, take away fear, anxiety, insecurity in our lives. Lord, we don't need anything but you and your anointing upon us. So help us this week to lift you up and to see many people come to know you. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.